Jesus, we're glad to be here tonight. We're thankful for your lovely presence and for these people that have gathered to hear the Word of God. And I pray tonight that you'll stretch out your hand to save, to forgive, Father, to heal and deliver in every way tonight. May we realize that you really are here. Father, that if two or three gather together in your name, that you really are here. And dear God, that we should be grateful that we're here tonight. May we worship thee in spirit and in truth tonight. May you speak tonight and say something that will enlarge our hearts. God, that will cause us to be stronger in the things of God and have more faith for your wonderful divine presence, your glory, and your love. I ask you to bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Somebody say, praise the Lord. You can be seated. We're just a little bit late getting here tonight. The last time we had a tent crusade in this area, I didn't remember too much except the crossroads up yonder. And coming back out a road here, it was, I don't know what it looks like. This whole field has turned into a city out here. And I couldn't find my way around. I just had to look around to tell where this thing was. I know that we had the tent pretty close to where we're at. It was nearby, but I can't tell you where it was. So I feel real good just about finding it. It's good to be here, and it's good to see you here tonight. It's good to be back under the tent. It turned off a little cool. I was expecting it to be, the weather to be a little more pleasant for the people to come out, but it turned off a little bit cool, but we're still here to worship the Lord, and we're going to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. A lot of advantage to being cool. You don't have to worry about the mosquitoes, and we do have some heaters, as I say, coming so that we can do something about it. I'm just here tonight to try to get acquainted with some of you a little bit and to talk to some of you that we know. We have quite a number of spiritual children in the Carolinas, scattered across the Carolinas, especially around High Point, Charlotte, different places. And we've ministered through the Carolinas a number of times. We've ministered by radio, and we've ministered by tent meetings, and we've done a lot of personal witness, and we've had a lot of literature that's went out into the Carolinas. Some of the greatest people in the world in the Carolinas. I remember one of the greatest evangelists, I suppose, that was ever on the field. He made the statement that in the Carolinas, it was some of the finest people, you know, or he spoke of it in that way, that he loved to come to the Carolinas. A lot of good common down-to-earth folks here in the Carolinas. And a lot of sin here. How do you know that? Every place you go, you find a lot of sin from California to Florida and from one side of the world to another. Just come back a few weeks ago from over in the Holy Land, and a lot of sin in the Holy Land. Young men, young women, real young women and young men, moving around with guns strapped to their back, walking up and down the streets. It's quite a sight to see. It seems unreal to see those young women with those guns strapped on their back, but they're walking up and down the sidewalks of the city. It's not out on the battlefield somewhere. It's right there in the city. And you see them there, and it's a bad situation. It looks bad. But over there, they have to do that to survive. They may be living today and dead tomorrow. So they take their guns with them. I talked to a young soldier one time about God. I said, you really need to trust in the Lord. You know, it was a Jewish soldier, and he patted that gun. He said, this is what I trust in. He said, this is what keeps me right here. And that's bad, you know, but that's the condition. So we're glad to be here in America. We can still say as of now that it is a free country. Not as free as it has been. And it seems like that every day that things are becoming more ecclesiastical all the time, and the freedom is being taken away more and more. And it appears that there could be some terrible interruptions here in the United States within the next few months. We'd made some predictions, and those things that we predicted was concerning the papacy of Rome and what was about to happen in that he was coming to the United States, what it had to do with, and we've elaborated quite a bit on this. They have tapes of the ministering concerning this, and it shows a bad, bad situation. So then it makes me glad that I'm a Christian. It's good to be glad that you are American. That's good, because I admit, in traveling around the world, you can hardly find any place like America. But America's getting to be a real Babylon, to where you can't tell what's going on anymore. You don't know your rights anymore. You don't know what you can do and can't do. And it's just getting to be a nerve-wracking situation right here in this great United States. A lot of people having nervous breakdowns, a lot of pressure, a lot of trouble, a lot of heartaches. But it's like I said to some people the other night in service, I don't know whether you've ever stopped to consider it or not, but there's not one problem that you have, not one problem that I have, that God ever gave us. Not one. I challenge anybody in the world to show me one problem that God ever caused them. All of man's problems is caused because of his own selfish desire, his own self-will and his own rebellion. Every sickness, every heartache, and the Bible teaches that even death is the enemy of God, that it never came by God, it came by man. So all of the problems of the world are caused by man and by woman, and there's not any of them that has ever been caused by God. All right, I want to read some from the book of Romans. If you've got your Bibles, you can read with me. I'd like to read just a little bit here and comment some tonight. I notice the mosquitoes are flying around, but I don't think they're going to do much biting, as cool as it is. In this book of Romans, chapter 11, let's read right here. I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid, for I also am an Israelite, of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Wot ye not what the scripture saith of Elias, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets, and digged down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so then, at this present time also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then is it no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear unto this day. And David said, let their table be made a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened that they may not see, and bow down their back alway. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather through their fall salvation is come unto the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. If by any means I might provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou being a wild olive tree with grafted in among them, and with them partaker, takest of the root and fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches. But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off, that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off. And thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed, lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fail severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shall be cut off. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. For if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these which be the natural branches be grafted into their own olive tree? For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceit, that blindness in part is happened to Israel, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes, but as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. For the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. For as ye in time past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief, even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments, and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor, or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things. To whom be glory forever. Amen. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye there transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that sheweth mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceit. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as life in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Let every soul be subject unto the high powers, for there is no power but of God, the power that be or ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive for themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good work, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou shalt do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger, to execute wrath upon them that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet, and if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Now, it goes on to tell us to receive him that is weak in the faith, and to work with the weaker brother. Not to judge him, but to work with him. That's reading quite a bit of scripture tonight. Sometimes I don't read near so much scripture, but I felt like reading that tonight. That's reading quite a bit of scripture. And I want you to notice that the emphasis in this writing is placed on not chambering, not wantonness, not in strife and envy, but it is to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says, as to the days of the Gentiles being fulfilled here, it tells us that the Lord will return back to the Jews. I just said we'd been over in the Holy Land for a while there, seeing the things that was happening, preaching to those people over there. And it says here that he will return back to them. It will be at the end of the age for the Gentiles. Now, you might not believe this, and of course if you don't, well that's all right, because everybody has to, you know, they have to do whatever they've got to do, and they've got to believe whatever they want to believe. I have to believe whatever the Lord tells me, and you have to believe whatever the Lord tells you. So, whatever your course is in life, you have to go that way. Whatever my course is, I have to go that way. I believe in the divine direction of Almighty God, and I believe that God directs our path. The Bible said, acknowledge the Lord in all of your ways, and He shall direct your path. So then I make it a point in my life to acknowledge God in all of my ways. I'm here in this area in the Carolinas because I acknowledge God that I was to come here to the Carolinas and sit in this place. So then I'm here by the leading of the Lord Jesus. And wherever we go around the nation or across the world, we try to always talk to God, to acknowledge God, and that way He always prospers our way. You know, even until this very day, I cannot say that God has not prospered my way. God has always prospered me physically. He's prospered me with health. He's prospered me financially. He's prospered me in every way that I could wish for. I know of not anything but what God has prospered me. It's always been the blessings of God. For the Bible said, I would above all things that ye prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. And I point this out a lot of times to my audience and talking to them. The Lord God of heaven has a threefold plan for man as to the blessing of God. And that threefold plan is that He wants to bless us naturally. He wants to bless us physically. He wants to bless us spiritually. He wants to bless us naturally with houses and lands and those things that we need as pertaining to the welfare of our way of life or of a little family or to take care of us. Because He knows that we're pressed with necessity in life and we have to have these things. And the Bible tells us that God has given us all things that pertain unto life through the Lord Jesus Christ. So He wants us to have all these blessings. He wants us to have all the things that we need in life. He doesn't want us to follow after those things. He wants us to follow after Christ. But He wants us to have all of those things. So in the natural, God wants us to have them. But then there's another thing that God wants us to have, and that is God wants to bless us physically, because God wants us to have health so that we can enjoy the natural prosperity that He gives to us. If we don't have health, we can't enjoy the natural prosperity that God has given to us. So then God wants us to have a physical prosperity. He wants to bless us with a physical blessing so we'll be healthy and we'll be strong and we can enjoy all those wonderful natural things that God has blessed us with. In the garden, God created a beautiful garden there. He put Adam and Eve in the garden. He gave them health so that they could enjoy all of the blessings that He had given to them. See, and God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His attitude toward us is good. Peace on earth and goodwill toward man by the blood and death and sufferings of our Lord Jesus Christ, who made all of this possible so that God could bless us. You know, God is loving and kind, and He wants to bless us, but Jesus had to make this possible by becoming a near kinsman and paying the price for our disobedience and paying for the sins of our forefather Adam that we might be in the presence of God again. See, sin come upon all the world by just one man, Adam. And the Bible said, and sin and death was taken away by one man, even the Lord Jesus, because that's all He needed. If one man caused the problem, then all He needed was one man to solve the problem. If one man brought death and unrighteousness, then all He needed was one man to bring righteousness and life. And so then we see that God loves us and He wants to bless us. It's God's good will to bless us and give us all things that pertain unto life. So then God wants us to have the natural prosperity and God wants us to have the physical prosperity, but there's one thing that the world in general leaves out. You know, nobody fusses with God because God wants them to have the natural prosperity. Everybody's for that. Solomon said, money answereth to all things. And everybody is satisfied in having the natural prosperity. We all wholeheartedly agree that we need good automobiles. We need good homes. We all agree that we need good clothes. And we all agree that we need the best in the facilities of life. All of us agree. We don't have any point of disagreement there. See, and we also agree unanimously when it comes to having health. We want physical blessing. We want health. We want that happiness. We want health. We want God to bless us to where we are just running over with life. And God wants you to have that. For Jesus said, I'm the Prince of Life. I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. And the word abundant means filled up and overflowing. I want you to have it overflowing. David said, my cup runs over. So then God, He wants us to have that physical blessing, and we wholeheartedly agree that He should give it to us because we want that physical blessing. Because the better we feel, the more we can enjoy the trees and the birds and the brooks and the streams and the oceans and eating and drinking and riding and talking and fellowshipping and whatever we want to do. See, the more that we can enjoy it if we have the abundance of health. So then we say, God, we're for that. I endorse that, God. I want this natural blessing that you got from me. I endorse that. And then you say, God, I want this physical blessing that you got from me. I endorse that. But folks, there's one thing that we drag our feet on. There's one thing that we fail to really want, and that is the spiritual blessing of God. See, the world doesn't want the spiritual blessing of God. They don't want to conform to the way of God. They don't want to go the way of God. They'd rather have the natural blessing and the physical blessing and let the spiritual blessing come upon them in this way. You know that everything is secure and everything is lovely, and God, you'll never take any of this away from us. Whereas, that's the way God wants it. See, the third part of God's blessing is the spiritual blessing. He wants to bless you with the natural things. He wants to bless you with health to enjoy those natural things. And then He wants to bless you with a spiritual blessing that is an eternal security that will eternally secure you and your blessings against any deterioration, against any destruction, against any loss. He wants to give you a perfect security in the Spirit. That is an eternal security, an eternal blessing. He wants to secure this beautiful garden that He made for Adam and Eve. He wants to secure that body that He made in His image and in His likeness. He wants to secure that life, that spiritual part. God wants to secure that life to where the parasites can never get it, to where sickness and sorrow can never destroy it, to where cancer and TB, heart conditions, all of these things can never take the life out of that body. God wants to secure it. So then He's got a spiritual blessing for you. That is to secure all of your wealth, all of your health, all of your blessings, all of the great things of life. God has that blessing for you because God wants you to be happy, and He wants you to be healthy, and He wants you to live eternally. God is good. Can you say amen? God is good. That makes us know that He's good. So then, we now know God is good. We know He's a wonderful God. He has given us all things that pertain unto life. Health, happiness, strength, everything that's good. God made my eyes so that I could see the good things that He created for my eyes to behold. God made my ears so that I can hear the wonderful sounds of music and the chirping of the birds and the good things that I hear from day to day with my ears. And God made my hands to where I can feel, I can take hold of the tangible substance of life and feel the exhilaration and the thrill, whether I touch my little child or I touch my wife or I shake hands with my friends or whatever it might be. You know, God fixed it to where I can have this activation of the things of life, the stimulation through the nerve system. You know, through our human senses, as to the five senses of taste and smell, hearing and feeling, these kind of things. See, God made me that way because He wants it to be like that. You know, He said to Adam and Eve, He said, now look, He said, here is everything that heart could wish for. Are you listening, folks? He said, see, all the trees, eat of the fruit. All of these wonderful things, said, just help yourself. Whatever you want, have your heart's desire. He said, but one thing I want you to leave alone. One thing, that's all I'm going to ask you to leave alone, is one thing, and that's sin. Leave sin alone. Leave sin alone. We wholeheartedly agree on all of these other points, but folks, do we agree that we should leave sin alone? The Bible said, the soul that sinneth shall surely die. God said, Adam and Eve, the day that you eat of that tree right there, that old tree of knowledge, the day, folks, when you lean to your own understanding, the Bible said to acknowledge the Lord in all of your ways and He'll direct your path. And not to lean to your own understanding, but acknowledge God in all of your ways, for God will direct your path. See, the day that you eat thereof, Adam and Eve, ye shall die. You know, we've got quite a teaching on that. We go into details and we bring out a lot of things as concerning that as to what happened there. So then He said, the day that you eat thereof, you're going to die. Leave that alone. Help yourself, Adam and Eve. Have all of these things as to your advantage and as to your taste, as to your delight. But leave that alone, folks. I'm telling you tonight. We're living in a sinful and an adulterous generation. And the Bible said they are in chambering, and they are in wantonness, and they are in sin, and they are in strife, and they are doing the things that are wrong and contrary to God, and they're leaning to their own understanding. They're not listening to the ministry. They're not acknowledging the Word. They're not acknowledging God in all of their ways. And the Bible said they don't like to obtain the knowledge of God in their hearts or minds, And because of this, God has given them over to a reprobate mind to believe a lie and to be damned. And the Bible said God sent them strong delusions and caused them to believe a lie, to be damned. And the same God said, because you don't want any part of me, and because you want to do evil, he said, I will pursue you till you perish from off of the face of the earth. He said, you beware that forget God. He said, for if you forget God, he said, I'll pursue you till you perish from off of the face of the earth. So then, folks, when we look around us, what do we have? He said, the last generation, Laodicean, lukewarm, people's rights, all everybody demanding their rights, the children demanding their rights, the wives demanding their rights, the husband demanding their rights, everything demanding their rights, all kind of people, all nations demanding their rights, a lukewarm, Laodicean, lukewarm church age. See, what is it? A sinful and an adulterous generation. Not just two or three people. See, it's not just two or three people, but it's an entire generation. An entire generation. Lukewarm. Lukewarm. Not on fire for God. Not praying, not fasting, not seeking God. Not in world evangelism, not trying to win souls. Many hundreds and thousands of them that are putting out religious leaflets and going into religious activities is making millions of proselytes across the world. You say, Brother Pike, you don't know that. I know that because I travel across the world. They are making millions of proselytes across the world. And the Bible said, twofold more the child of hell. So then, we don't unanimously agree when it comes to these things. We do so far as the blessings. We say, pour it on, God. Whatever you've got for me, give it to me. You know, I want everything you've got, God. Pour it on me. But when it comes to conforming to righteousness, whereas the Bible said to follow after righteousness, and it said to follow after godliness, and it said to follow after faith, and it said to follow after love, it said to follow after patience, and it said to follow after meekness, and it said that we should have charity, fervent charity, above all things. So then we agree. We agree that God should give us these wonderful blessings. But what we want to do is to have God to leave us alone and let us do what we want to do. Come on, folks. I said we want God to leave us alone and just let us do whatever we want to do and just be any old thing that we want to be. God, leave us alone, we say. People have told God that. I know of some that told him that and got into serious trouble. See, so they want God to leave them alone. God, I don't want you to rule my life. I don't want you to tell me what to do. I've got my own life to live. I want to do my own thing. I've got things that I would like to do. See, so we don't want God. We don't want God telling us what to do. But God, we do want you to give us that blessing, that natural blessing of riches. We want that, and God wants you to have it. I tell you again, the Bible said, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich, addeth no sorrow. The world can make you rich. You know, there's a riches that comes from Satan, and there's a riches that comes from God. How do you know that? There is a riches that comes from Satan, and there is a riches that comes from God. You can go out in the world and do your own thing, and you can manipulate, and you can kind of engineer the thing to where you can pick up money over here and wealth over here, and you can hurt people while you're doing it. Or you can violate the principles of God, and you can go on to riches. But the Bible teaches that the man that gets riches deceitfully and contrary to the way of God shall be cut off in the midst of his days, and in the end he shall be a fool. We look around and we see millionaires, and we see the great prosperity of the world. See, and a lot of times we get blinded. We say, well, they're not cut off. But a lot of times it's the son because the father has been cut off. And a lot of times the son is on the verge of being cut off so that it'll be somebody else. And as Solomon said, though great riches is gotten by wisdom, when I die, he says, who knows what I'll leave it to a fool. And so he did leave it to a foolish person. So then we are blinded a lot of times. We don't understand. But we go back to one great principle, and that is righteousness. I was telling my wife today, as we were riding along, I said, Betty, I said, there's one thing that we've got to realize, that America can't pay its bills. I said, the United States can't pay its bills. I said, it owes so many billions of dollars till it can't pay its bills. You know why that it owes those bills? It owes those bills for one reason. It left the principles of God. See, it didn't owe those bills. This great United States, it wasn't in debt. It didn't owe billions of dollars. But when they left the principles of God, then is when they had their great indebtedness. Now let's just think of it for just a minute. What caused this? When men were just good, common, down-to-earth, working folks, and women were just good, clean women that just wanted families and wanted to do right, wasn't looking for a career in the world, wasn't looking for this what can you call it, a fantasy, a fanatic thing, this thing of the world, lying vanities. They weren't looking for that. Man wasn't looking for it. They wasn't looking for fame and popularity. They wasn't after the things of the world. They just wanted to be a good, common, down-to-earth wife or mother or neighbor or do something for somebody, and that's all they wanted out of life. Now let's look at it. What happened? When all of this thing began to conglomerate, we decided that we couldn't pay our bills and there could be a little something that could help us out with the bills. So all we needed to do was promote the things that was unlike Jesus. That's all we had to do. See, instead of going to prayer, and instead of asking God to help us, in that the Bible says righteousness exalteth the nation, and so it hath exalted America in the past. But sin being a reproach to any people, the Bible tells us, then we're brought down to the sides of the pit because of not doing the things that God wants us to do. So then we start allowing for these things. Advertisements along the highway, all kind of things is displeasing to God. One of the things that destroys health, tobaccos, advertised for the wrong use, should be for spray, killing insects or something like that. But people have stooped to such a place until their minds are so corrupt and they are so deluded until they suck on weeds, chew on cud, do anything like that. See, and the world promotes that. Why? Big business. A lot of jobs for people. Not only that, but the signs tell us about the brew. This is the best kind of beer. This is the best kind of whiskey. And our people allow for that. Why? Years ago, they wouldn't do that. You know, if you had a liquor still over here, somebody had a liquor still over here, it wasn't long before the law would find out about it and close it down. And it was just a few people running around after that kind of stuff. A lot of them that didn't have good reasoning, never knew anything about God. If you got to them about God, they stopped that. But you know, the law says they're getting all the money. Why, we're going to have to legalize this stuff. So they begin to put it on the billboards. They begin to put it on the screen of the TV. They begin to put it in the magazine. They said, now, this is what we need. This will help us to pay our bills. This will help us to pay our national indebtedness. And so they magnified that. And then they magnified nudeness. And then they magnified all this conglomeration of a mess to allow the teenagers to stay at night with rock and roll and the dance halls and all this other garbage. See, and they continued to magnify. And then they began to magnify everything that was unlike God. Whether it was sports and stripping off the clothes, or whether it was going down to the beach for the nudeness, whatever, they built this up and magnified this and made it a great outstanding thing in the eyes of the public. And they've got the world completely drunk off of the cares of life. And they said, this will help us to pay our bills. But folks, consequently, we are billions of dollars in debt. Whereas we wasn't billions of dollars in debt. But with all of this that's supposed to help us pay our bills, we're billions of dollars in debt. To begin with, God blessed us. He said, I'll make you the head and not the tail. He shall lend to many nations. I looked at it with my own eyes, a listing of the nations. I couldn't hardly believe it. I don't know whether you've ever seen it or not, but America lent to almost every nation in the world. And I'm talking about millions and millions and hundreds of millions of dollars. Every nation. Just about it in the world. I saw the listing of it. Today, America can't even pay her own bills. Can't even pay her own bills. God said, I'll make you the head and not the tail. Ye shall lend to many nations. We did it. But folks, the Bible said sin is a reproach to any people. This is the end of the Gentile age. I made the statement that this papacy coming over here, it indicated the end of the world. And I wished I had time to elaborate on it tonight. And maybe I can elaborate on it a little bit tomorrow night. But this is the end of the world. It's the end of the days of the Gentiles. And the Jewish people are beginning to come in. They're beginning to understand. There's numbers of them beginning to realize that Jesus is the Messiah. And they're beginning to turn around. And the Bible speaks of a time when an entire nation of Jews shall be born in one day. Because they are beloved for the Father's sake. Their enemies as touching the gospel for your sake and my sake. But the Bible says they are beloved for the Father's sake. And that He's going to turn back to those Jews. Why is it that Mr. Reagan not too long ago said, as goes the Jews, so go America? Why is it that everything has been focused on the Jews? Why is it they've been spotlighted all of a sudden? Down through the years, they wasn't like that. And why is it that Rome and the papacy has been spotlighted all of a sudden? Down through the years, you hardly knew anything about that side of the world. But all of a sudden, they're right here. And the papacy is right here. And our president is having tea with him, as we say, or sitting around talking with him. Why is that happening? Because it's the end of the world. This is the Laodicean church age. This is the lukewarm people that are religious and really have nothing from God, that stand at the door and won't go in and hinder everybody else that's coming. This is the generation that has turned into corruption, a sinful generation, an adulterous generation. I mean a sinful generation. There is nothing that they don't do. I mean there's nothing that they don't do. They don't bar anything. They do all things that they want to do. And they are a sinful generation that's interested in the frolics of the world and the sports of life and the eating and drinking and frolicking and all of the things that's of the world that's not of God. For the Bible said, if the love of the world is in you, the love of the Father is not there. And the world and all of these things passeth away. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So then we can see by this that the end of the days of the Gentiles are here. And we can see that this generation is a sinful generation. And it is an adulterous generation because they are marrying one time and two times and three times. They're never satisfied with their companions. And their wives, while they walk with them, is lusting after another man in her heart. I've been around and picked up a spirit when it was happening. And as the man is lusting after the woman, so is the woman lusting after the man, whether it be wife, whether it be married or unmarried. And the women dress in such a way that the men, the Bible said, the lust of the eyes, as this, they lust after them. And the Bible said that if you look on a woman to desire her, you've committed adultery with her already in your heart. The men are looking at them that way, and the women are looking at the men that way. The Bible speaks of seven women taking hold of one man in the last days. Women have corrupted themselves so that the young girls is about to drive the young boys crazy. They won't let them rest day or night. I know, because I got a couple of young boys. I got four boys, but I still got one that's not married and one that just got married. And girls about drive them crazy. I can be on my knees at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning praying. And the telephone is ringing and ringing until I feel bad. I think, Lord, maybe it's an emergency. Maybe somebody needs my prayer. And I get up and I go over there, and lo and behold, it's some girl. Some girl wanting to talk to my son. It is a sinful, it is an adulterous generation. They don't want to come in at midnight. They don't want to come in at 10 o'clock. They don't want to do that. They don't want to come in about 3 or 4, 5 o'clock in the morning dragging in. They don't want you to say anything. Swell up like a balloon. You know, if daddy and mama says anything. So then what is it? It's that sinful generation. It's that adulterous generation. It's the end of the world. It's what God spoke of. So then that means that we are right at the verge of everything being burned. I had a night vision the other night. I was praying and God visited me a lot in visions. Night visions or sometimes just visions. Due to the day, whatever, you know, trances. And I saw this vision. And I had laid hold on something. I didn't know what it was. It was a huge figure that stood up, and he reached down to get me. And I saw that he had got somebody, and he reached down to get me, and instead of getting me, I managed to get him. And I got a hold of something. I don't know whether it was a beard or what it was, but I got a hold of that thing, and I held on to it. And this huge figure got angry. I mean, it got angry. And I watched it, and it got more angry and more angry and more angry. And as it became more angry, it began to spin around. It looked like its feet lifted up off the earth. And it began to spin around like a propeller, like this. And it grew and went out farther and faster with more anger. And I still held on to it. And after a while, I realized it was the devil. I had a hold of him, and he couldn't get loose. And I was holding him. You know, the Bible said, "Behold, I give you power over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." And I had a hold of him, and I wouldn't turn him loose. And he was angry because he couldn't get loose. And he was spinning around, and all of a sudden, the whole heavens everywhere began to turn into a blaze of fire. And fire began to melt down from heaven, and everywhere in the earth, things were burnt up. Nothing was left. And then all of a sudden, whew, like that, everything was gone. And I looked, and I was standing over in a new world. I was standing in a new world. There was the most beautiful, clean, holy, godly place. And I looked, and here was a beautiful, godly people that was clean, every whit clean. And I thought, oh, my God, we've come into this great, wonderful new world. And I screamed out to the people, and I said, "Do anything you want to." I said, "From now on, forever and ever and ever, we'll never die anymore." I said, "We made it over into eternal life and over into this glorious world." I said, "And everything is ours from now on." And oh, what a feeling, what an exhilaration. I can't express it. I don't have the vocabulary utterance to express it, but it was something that was so great. And there we were in that beautiful world. See, to me, the world is on the verge of chaos. And I believe that this message is coming forth in the end time. It's going to lay hold on the devil, and it's going to expose Lucifer, and the devil ain't going to be able to get loose from it. We've got a hold of him, and this people that's coming up with God, they're not going to turn him loose. And his anger, the Bible says in the book of Revelation, and the nations were angry. And Satan is going to become so angry that just like now all around the earth, people are becoming more angry. And this nation is angry, and that nation is angry. And look at all that in the Persian Gulf. And I believe that all that spinning around like that, the first news you know, missiles is going to start going here and there, and planes spinning around everywhere, dropping bombs, and all these things happening. John said, "I saw such great earthquakes until I saw the cities of the nations crumble to the earth." The great cities, the great empires crumble to the earth. I believe that we're on the verge of that, that any time, that vision denoted that any time now, Satan is defeated. The saints of God, the Bible said, Satan shall wear out the saints of God, and then they shall rise and take the kingdom and possess it forever and ever. And I believe that this is the time of the rising to take the kingdom. I believe that what God spoke of as being his people, that this is the hour when they're going to come to a perfect understanding of God. And the devil that's hid in the shadows, in that he is a spiritual being, is going to be brought out by the detailed revelation of this word, the revelation of Jesus Christ. And he's going to be made an expose, and he's going to have to come right out in human form to where everybody can see him, to bring on the Antichrist and these other things and the power of the dominion of the Antichrist and of the red dragon and of the false prophet. And I believe that we're on the verge of that right now. And the saints of God are going to pull together. They're going to begin to come together. I'm talking about the true children of God. They're going to begin to come together all over the world. Did you know that in our ministry alone, all over the world people are coming together? We get letters from all over the world, and people want to be part of this ministry. And they ask for us to come. They say, "Come to us, Brother Pike, come to us." Said, "We've got a hold of some literature, and we've read this, and we've got to have this message," all over the different parts of the world. I was looking just before I came to church tonight. Somebody had brought the mail, and I was looking at just numbers and numbers of letters just out of Nigeria alone. that's pleading and begging just out of Nigeria. And other letters from the different parts of the world pouring in all the time because people are ready to come together in the name of the Lord. They're ready to find out the truth about this thing. And they're ready to come out of that world. I talked to a man the other day. He got hurt. He was a very poor person. But he got hurt in an accident. And he had went away from God. He had been in the blessings of the Lord. He went away. Now he's rich. In getting hurt, they're going to give him over $2 million. Now, and I think there's other insurance companies that have to pay off. And he's got it all. But he came to me the other day and he said, "What should I do, Brother Pye?" He said, "I am sick of the world. He's in misery. He's in pain. He's got the world. He's got money. He's got those things." He said, "But I'm sick of the world. I'm sick of the world. What should I do?" Folks, it's good that he would think like that. That's good. But it'd been so much better if he could have avoided those things that hurt him, that crippled him up for life, to where he could have really got out and done something for God. He can still do something for God. He's a young man. He can still do something for God. Plenty of money. And, of course, he wanted to invest in our ministry. But the thing is, what if he could have done those things that God wanted him to do before this happened to him? Wouldn't that be wonderful? Hundreds and millions of youth are being crippled up from ball games and all of this other foolishness. I know of numbers of people that are injured from races, from sports. Friends of mine just broke up and run for life. All of these kind of things. Because we don't like to retain God in our knowledge. So then, folks, it's the beginning of sorrows. Mothers' hearts are broken. Daddy's hearts are broken. Children, daughters, sons, ravished, missing, can't find them, gone for years, hearts broken. The Bible said the beginning of sorrows. Everywhere you look, it's sorrows, it's heartaches, it's wrecks, it's problems. California, I understand, just had their worst quake. I believe they said it was the worst they ever had. I may have this wrong, but this was the way it was reported to me. Now, look at that. In the last days, earthquakes, divers places, that is different places, sorrows, heartaches, wars, rumors of wars. Everything is there, an adulterous generation. I want you to stand with me tonight. I just thought I'd exhort you a little bit, being the first night of the meeting. The Bible said exhort each other the more as you see the day approaching. And folks, I see it approaching. I mean, I can see it coming in leaps and in just bountifully like that. So, tonight we're here under the tent. Under the tent here in Thomasville, North Carolina. Been a long time since I've been here. A lot of friends here, a lot of good folks here. See, we're here tonight to try to stir up your pure minds to let you know that Jesus is still on the throne and that God is still interested in salvation. And even though the world is in the condition it's in, God still has His eyes on the righteous and His ears are ever attentive to the cry of the righteous. I sat tonight just for a few minutes, looked at the car streaming up and down the highways. I've been out in California around Los Angeles. And I've seen them just hundreds and thousands of cars, you know, like this on the Golden Freeway. Been down to Central America, South America, the different parts of the world, over in Europe, and seeing the same way. Hundreds and millions of souls going to and fro. And you sit there and look at them and you think, Lord, what can I do? I'm so little and the task is so great. What can I do? Millions upon millions of people. See, and you think, Lord, they're sinful. They don't care. They curse. They drink. They spend their time watching non-virtuous things on TV and stripping off their clothes and doing all the things of the world and moved by the millions after sports, not caring about God. As a matter of fact, let me say this. I tell this every once in a while. I might have told this the last time I was here. I don't know. But I told about a vision. It's been a long time back that I had this now. I heard a noise, and in this noise, they were having one of the biggest frolics you ever seen. In this noise, they were praising God, and they were thanking God. And I said, there is a great revival somewhere down at the stadium. I hurried off down there because you could just hear the praises rolling. And I thought, my God, what a revival. I want to get in the middle of this. And I went in, and it was a ball game. And they were saying, glory to God, praise God, our boys won. And they were clapping and going on. I thought, my God, what is this? And something told me, he said, get out from here. This is an abomination in the sight of God. I don't know if you've ever experienced this or not, but I got people that are in the boxing world. I'm talking about big timers that are supposed to be friends of mine, some of them in the ministry. And the man sitting here in the corner, they rub his shoulder and say, knock his eyes out. You know, and they're answering, break his neck. Glory to God. God will do it for you. These kinds of things. Can you imagine anybody getting so degraded in their mind and getting so disillusioned in their mind and being turned over to a reprobate mind to the extent that they'll stand out and praise God for somebody rolling around in the mud and running down the line with a hunk of pig skin, as they say, under their arm and tumbling around and breaking people's collarbones and doing all these degraded things and somebody says, glory to God, praise God, God's with us. Can you imagine that? God said to me in the vision, he told me it was an abomination in his sight and to get away from it. And I started away from it. And as I started walking along, I started down a street. And as I walked down the street, it was a bright, sunshiny day. And all of a sudden, it looked like that out of nowhere, there came up a great, big, round thing like a huge plane. If you travel much by plane, you know what I'm saying. We travel all the time, Betty and I, by plane. All right, now, so here comes this thing up out of the, right along by the sidewalk like a huge plane, but I didn't see any windows in it. I didn't see any doors in it. And it just come right up beside me, and all of a sudden, an opening came into it, and something just said, phew, and sucked me right into it, and the door was shut, and I couldn't find no way out. And I was terrorized. I stood there, and I was terrorized. And I thought, oh my God, what is this? I'm enclosed in something, you know, and like claustrophobia, you get a strange feeling. And all of a sudden, while standing there, I saw this. I saw a little thin-looking mother, and she came walking along like this. And then she had a little one in her arm, and she was like a zombie. And I saw others. I saw others. And I saw them walking along like this. And I had seen in another vision where here there was a thing going down like into hell, and the youth was just pouring down to hell, down this escalator type thing. And I looked over there and I said, my God, let me out of here. And I heard something say, this is the people. And God began to make me to know that that was the people at the ball game. Are you listening to me? He made me to know that that was the people at the ball game that was doing those things, and that in this world, people had become like zombies. Their mind has been programmed to the love of the world and the lust of the flesh, until they have completely lost their sense of reasoning. And even with their little ones, they're walking on to death. And I said, my God, get me out of here. Lord, get me out of here. And all of a sudden, a door opened up, out I went, and the thing closed, and everything was gone. And I started down the road, and as I did, I started to sing, and I was so happy to be free. I started singing, I thank you for the flowers. I thank you for the sunshine. I thank you. And God gave me a song. A lot of times, Brother Taylor and the audience sing this song that God gave me from that vision. But I was so happy till I was pouring out my soul to Him. I just thought I'd relate that, folks, because God said, not in wantonness, not in chambering, not in strife, not in the love of the world, not in the lust of the flesh, but come ye out from among them. Be a separate people. Touch not the unclean things, and I will receive you, saith the Lord. So tonight, God wants to receive you. While we sing a little chorus together, if you've never given your heart to God, and you've never made that commitment unto God, I want to give you a chance tonight. The altars are open as we sing this little chorus together. We're going to sing, first of all, the little chorus, I Love Him. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. One of the great commandments was to love one another.
He loved us enough that he laid down his life for us. Now, how much do we love him? Let's sing this chorus together, can we?
I love him. Sing it with me now. I love him. All because that he first loved me. And he purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree.
Sing it one more time now.
I love him. I love him. All because that he first loved me. And he purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree.
Let's sing it like this now.
Every promise in the book, it is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And we're trusting in the Word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine.
Sing it with me.
Every promise in the book, it is thine. For every chapter, every verse, and every line. And we're trusting in the Word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. Every promise in the book, it is mine. The altars are open. Every chapter, every verse, every line. And I'm trusting in God's Word divine. For every promise in... Can you sing it again?
Come on to the altar.
Every promise in the book, it is thine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And I'm trusting in God's Word divine. For every promise, come on folks, it is mine.
One more time.
Every promise in the book, it is thine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And we're trusting in the Word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine.
One more time.
Every promise in the book, it is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And we're trusting in the Word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine.
Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. I feel the Holy Ghost, don't you? I feel the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Don't you want to escape this world? The Bible said to save yourselves from this underworld generation. It's not toward God. Save yourself from this underworld generation. If you love the Lord, then let's do something for the Lord. It's getting later and later, and it's a lot later than you think it is. So then, if you want to do something for God, now's the time to do it. The tent is here in the Carolinas. The Bible said, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house might be full, saith the Lord. So then, go out there and do something. Go out there and tell somebody something. I never will forget sitting at a table one day, a man had come home for lunch, and I was there preaching at their church, and I was in his home. And he sat down at the table, and he was so disgusted. He said, I wished I could do something for God, Brother Pike. I want to do something for God. I can't do nothing for God. I pulled out a bunch of tracts and I laid them on the table over there where he was. I said, Brother, go to work for God. I said, everywhere that you're at, around there in the plant, give somebody the Word of God. Go out, publish it in all the world. Hallelujah. And he went back happy. He suddenly realized that he could do something for God. If you don't have anything to do for God, we've got all kind of literature. We print up millions and millions of pieces of literature. And all you got to do is just come and get some of it. And you can just give it out everywhere. And you can become an evangelist right here. And you'll strike a note with some hearts. And them folks that takes that track, they'll say, "Who are you? Where are you from? What is this?" And you'll get a chance to witness to them, to go out into the highways and into the hedges and do something for God. Let's give the Lord a hand, can you? Hallelujah. There's something to do for God. Everybody can do something for God. Everybody can do something for God. It's up to you. It's up to me. But we all can do something for God. All right, we're going to sing this little song that we sing a lot of times down around the home front. It's called, "I'll Be Ready When the Bridegroom Comes." Today, while we were driving along, all of a sudden, it said, "The Groom Road." And we turned off on the Groom Road. So I felt if there was a groom around, it must be a bride around somewhere. Hallelujah. I want to be part of the bride, don't you? Everybody ain't going to be in that bride. Somebody says, "I love the Lord, I'm just waiting." You might be waiting, but that don't mean nothing. That don't mean nothing. It's whether or not you're waiting on the Lord that means something. So we're going to sing this little song. I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. For be it morning, noon, or night, I'll be robed in spotless white. I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. Sing it with me. We'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. We'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. For be it morning, noon, or night, I'll be robed in spotless white. I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. Can you sing it again? We'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. We'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. For be it morning, noon, or night, gonna be robed in spotless white. I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. Sing it one more time. I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. For be it morning, noon, or night, gonna be robed in spotless white. I'll be ready when the bride. Sing it again. We'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. We'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. For be it morning, noon, or night, gonna be robed in spotless white. I'll be ready. Can you sing that again? Lift up your hand if you're going to be ready, if you're planning to be ready. All right, let's sing it again. I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. For be it morning, noon, or night, gonna be robed in spotless white. I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. For we'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. We'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. For be it morning, noon, or night, we'll be robed in spotless white. Be ready. Can you sing it with me? For we'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. We'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. For be it morning, noon, or night, gonna be robed in spotless white. I'll be ready one more time. Can we sing it together? We'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. We'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. For be it morning, noon, or night, gonna be robed in spotless white. I'll be ready when the... Can you sing it one more time with me? Oh, I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. For be it morning, noon, or night, gonna be robed in spotless white. I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord. Oh, I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. For be it morning, noon, or night, gonna be robed in spotless white. And I'll be ready when the bride... Just one more time and we'll change. I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. For be it morning, noon, or night, gonna be robed in spotless white. I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. I want you to lift your hands up with me and close your eyes tonight. I want to pray for you tonight. The Bible says that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now, God has made us righteous by His own righteousness. And the Bible said, He that knew no sin was made sin that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So God has made us righteous, not that we be found with our own righteousness, but be found in the righteousness of God. And to enter into that wedding supper when the bridegroom comes with the wedding garment. So tonight, He hath made us righteous. And the Bible said the fervent prayer, the effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So in His righteousness tonight, by His word tonight, I want to pray with you. And I want you to pray with us tonight. There's always sick people. People come that are sick. People come that needs to be healed. And from night to night under the tent, we usually call them up and pray for them. Most of the time individually. But tonight, we're a little late coming here. And I want to pray for you tonight. I want to ask God to heal you. And I'll tell you what. I guarantee you that God will heal you if you'll believe. I guarantee you He will do it. Hallelujah. Somebody say, praise the Lord. How do you know, Brother Pike? Because I believe it. And He said, I could have whatever I said if I believe it. So I believe it. You know what was so great about Jesus? He believed what He said. And He had whatever He said. You know, and I believe what I say. So I believe God will do it. So I believe that God will heal you. I believe that God will do something for you. You know, they got things in the world they give a guarantee on. And if it's a real, genuine guarantee, it'll stand up. So tonight, I guarantee you that God will heal you. If you'll pray and believe with us. Remember this, friend. Maybe one night we'll minister on faith. Remember, God loves you, and God wants to heal you, and God wants to save you, and God wants you to have the very best, and God wants to do something for you. And He hath, by Calvary, broke down the middle wall of partition. The middle wall of partition. He's broke it down so that you can have salvation, and you can have the blessings of God. Yesterday, a man told me, said, we just had a great meeting over at a denominational church. A great meeting, he says, Brother Pike. He said, there wasn't nobody saved, but said it was a great meeting. But I'd like to see somebody saved, wouldn't you? The Bible said the angels in heaven rejoice over one soul coming to repentance rather than over the 99 that doesn't need any repentance. You leave the 99 that's safe to go out to look for the stray into the highways and into the hedges. To bring them in, and then you win a soul, and then you've got a jewel in your crown. So I want to pray with you. If you've got a sickness, I challenge you tonight to believe. If you've got a sickness tonight, I challenge you tonight to believe. Let's close our eyes. Let's lift up our hands. And as I pray for you tonight, I want you to believe with me. I want you to believe with me. Father God of heaven, I thank You for the blood of Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank You for the faith of Christ. And I thank You for the power of God. And I'm warning You tonight, by Your righteousness, by Your power, by Your divine deliverance, I want You to heal these people tonight. Dear God, even this first night of the meeting, I'm going to claim a healing, Father. I'm going to claim a healing tonight by the Word of God and by faith in the name of the Son of God. Father, there's someone here, I'm sure, that needs a touch from God, that came looking for it tonight, that would like to have it, that spent some miserable nights, and dear God, some restless nights. And I'm asking You tonight to consider that person, whoever they might be, man or woman. Father, I want You to consider them tonight. Father, if it be one, if it be two, if it be many here tonight, I want You to heal tonight. And God, I feel Your healing already. heal these people. God, heal these people. And God, deliver these people from sickness. And deliver these people from sin. Some that have bondages. God, harassment of the mind and the spirit. That can't find rest. Father, tonight in the name of Jesus, Father, we break that yoke. You said the anointing would break the yoke. Whoever we bless would be blessed. And whoever we curse would be cursed. And whatever we bind on earth, you'd bind it in heaven. And whatever we loose on earth, you'd loosen in heaven. And Father, we loose these people tonight from their bondages, from their fears, from their sicknesses, from their poverties, whatever might be harassing their life or their minds. And dear God, things is going to take a change for them tonight. Father, these that are having financial difficulty, that's turned their faith in this direction, tonight things is going to take a change. It's going to take a change. God, because we're praying for it and we're believing for it and we're standing with them in faith, and dear wonderful God, they that need healing tonight, things are going to take a change, Father, and they're going to feel better. They're going to move toward help. And dear wonderful God, these that have been harassed by evil spirits, the devil is not going to be able to get to them, because we plead the blood between them, oh God, and the powers of evil. Lord, that Satan can't get to them. These that are having nerve problems, Father, we pray for them tonight. God, that they can have steady nerves. And Father, that their minds can have rest. Their bodies can have rest. I'm asking you to do this tonight. I'm asking you to heal these people tonight. To save these people tonight. Father, these that are backslid, them that are out yonder, Father, I want you to bring them in. And dear God, them that are backslid, I want you to renew your covenant with them. And I want to see them renew their covenant with you. I want you to do it tonight, Father. I know you are doing it. I can feel your presence. And I can tell that you're doing it. And I'm asking you tonight to bless these people in the wonderful name of the Holy Child Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's sing this little chorus. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. For he is the lily of my valley, and he's my bright and morning star. And he is the fairest of 10,000. Everybody ought to know. Sing it with me. Everybody ought to tell. Everybody ought to tell. Everybody ought to tell who Jesus is. For he is the lily of your valley, and he's your bright and morning star. He is the fairest of 10,000. Everybody ought to know. Sing it one more time. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. For he, sing it with me. Can you sing it with me? He and he's the bright and morning star. And he is the fairest of 10,000. Everybody ought to know. Lift your hands up with me again. Close your eyes. If you believe that everybody ought to know who Jesus is, let me ask you this question. What are you doing to tell everybody who Jesus is? What are you doing? Are you doing anything to tell them that there is a Savior that has come into the world to take away the sins of mankind? Are you doing anything to expedite the cause of God or to carry the gospel to the ends of the world? Are you going into all the world with the gospel to every creature? Jesus said to you and I, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Are you doing that? If you're not doing that, you must not really want to know people to know who Jesus is. But if you are doing that, then that's a proof that you want people to know who Jesus is. So tonight, while your hands are up and while your eyes are closed, I want you to think this over for just a few moments. I want Brother Gary Armstrong to come up here if he will. And while you've got your hands up and while you've got your eyes closed, the Bible said, examine yourselves and see if you be in the faith. You know, a lot of times you can examine yourselves, and that way you don't have to go to the doctor. You can just kind of keep your health up and do something along that will keep you from an operation, sometimes keep you from dying. But if you let your health get run down, then you got to go to the physician. So tonight, examine yourselves. See if your conviction is faith. See if it's just a heresy, an idea, or something someone has taught you. Or see if it's the real, genuine Word of God. That you're convicted in the Word of God. And everything that God's Word says, you believe it. And that you wouldn't have anything else but just God's Word. Search your hearts. See, in the last days many shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, and having their conscience seared with a hot iron, the Bible says. So then, check yourself. See if you've departed from the Word. There's only one faith, and that's by the hearing of the Word. If you don't have faith in the Word, you don't have faith. Just believing is not faith. Mere believing is not faith. The devil believes, but that isn't faith. But believing in the Word is faith, and that'll save you. That'll save you. That'll deliver you from your sins. God will save you. Enoch was translated by faith. Many hundreds and millions of people have received the blessings of God through the testimony of faith. So then tonight, every individual has this opportunity. See if there's faith in your heart. See if you're concerned about spiritual things. See if you're carnal and cold, callous. See if you're still interested in doing something for God, telling everybody who Jesus is. While your hands are lifted up, while your eyes are closed, I want you to think on this for just a few minutes. And Brother Gary, I want you to pray with the people. Will you do that for me? While Brother Gary prays, let's pray together.